Welcome to the Nonprofit Leadership Oasis podcast, a place of sanctuary that helps you increase your organization's effectiveness, refine your leadership style, and create balance, all while allowing you to reclaim control of your precious time. It's not a mirage. You can bring peace of mind back to your work, and we're here to help you every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Jill Fowler of Songbird Leadership. On today's episode, I wanted to share some tips for the efficient onboarding of new staff as a way to save time for future you. The hiring landscape of late is a challenge for everybody. You've just spent a significant amount of time, energy, and resources to hire the perfect fit for your organization. The last thing you need is to unnecessarily spend additional time on inefficient onboarding activities, or even worse, having to spend time in the future retraining or clearing up misunderstandings that could have been avoided had the onboarding process been solid. Yes, it will require some time up front to set up your onboarding program, but once you have a good template in place, it can be reused with minimal updates for future hires. Efficient onboarding can save time in several ways. First, it can reduce the amount of time spent on supervision in the future. When a new hire is provided with everything they need to succeed from day one, they're able to quickly ramp up and work independently much sooner, making everyone involved more productive. Every new hire is going to have questions in the beginning, but by giving them the necessary tools and knowledge up front, it'll reduce the number of questions and prevent them from having to put their work on hold while they wait for an answer. Proper onboarding can also reduce errors and confusion. When a new hire knows their and others' roles and responsibilities, how they fit in the organization, and how to navigate the team culture, they'll be less likely to make mistakes or create redundancies, which take time to fix. Finally, a solid onboarding process improves employee engagement and job satisfaction. It creates an environment of support and sets the tone from the very beginning that they are valued. This can lead to higher levels of retention, which will reduce the need to spend time on a new search to fill the position, temporary coverage, and the additional training of replacements. So where to start? Well, like my seventh grade teacher used to say, make yourself a plan. Create a written SOP for onboarding that can be used for every new hire. Obviously, some minor adjustments will need to take place for each individual, but having a process in writing will prevent you from having to reinvent the wheel every time you bring on someone new. Throughout my career, I have onboarded hundreds of new hires, and I can tell you, onboarding starts the moment your offer is accepted. For the best results, you'll want to make it personal and establish a relationship with your new team member right away. The pleasantries of the interview process are over, and it's now time to begin working effectively together. Think back to a time when you were starting a new job. Chances are you really wanted that job, and you were very excited to start. You may have also felt a little nervous. Will you fit into the culture? How long will it take to ramp up and start making an impact? Will the team accept you? Your new hire has these same butterflies, making it a great time to create a welcoming space and help them feel supported. Again, onboarding starts as soon as the offer is accepted. So in addition to sending the new hire your usual employment letter or pre-employment packet, send them something a little more personal to welcome them to the team. Some flowers, an edible arrangement, or a box filled with your organization's swag are great ways to build on their excitement and make them feel welcome before they even set foot in your door. If your budget doesn't allow something like that, a nice old-fashioned handwritten card welcoming them to your team is also a nice touch. Assuming there's the customary 2-week period before they start and they're local, take the new hire to lunch to get to know them a little better. This will help put them at ease and put you way ahead on their first day, since you won't need as much time for introductory pleasantries. You and your team want to be ready for the new person on their first day. Announce the hire internally and then get to work preparing their physical space, assuming it's not a fully remote position. Make sure it's fully furnished and clean. It's a horrible feeling to have to remove your predecessor's personal belongings from your desk on your first day. I've been there, and it's not a great welcoming. Have all of their work tools in place and set up for use on their first day, including hardware, software, or anything else that they may need. Add standing materials to their calendar and set them up on your internal communication system. Order their business cards. Basically, you want to have everything completely ready for them to hit the ground running on their first day. From an operational standpoint, it should look as though they've been with your organization for years. Everything should be in place. Obviously, you'll want to test to make sure everything is set up properly and in working order. And you may still have to make a few tweaks once they start, but this should be minimal. In the vein of helping the new person feel supported, peer mentors can also be a helpful option. A peer mentor is like the buddy you were assigned in grade school when you were the new kid. They can help you feel like you belong socially, show you the ropes, and are there to answer questions. The peer mentor not only serves an important role for the new person's onboarding experience, but the act of mentoring can be an engagement opportunity for the mentor as well. Once the new hire starts, pull the trigger on your orientation and training plans. The new person's first week should be fully scheduled, but be sure to check in with them on a daily basis during that time in case they have any questions or concerns. From there, for their first month, a weekly touch base should occur. Then at days 30, 60, and 90, review their progress with those benchmarks you set up for those periods. It's also a good idea to ask the new hire for their feedback on their onboarding experience. What did they like and dislike? What was most helpful? What would they like to see more or less of? The 5-point scale survey is easy to produce, but it may not yield as much helpful feedback as open-ended questions. Whatever format you use, keep it pointed and brief. Now, you're probably thinking, this sounds like a lot. I thought this was going to save me some time. And you're right, it is a lot. In fact, this is just the bare minimum of onboarding. But as I said, by putting a little extra time and effort in now, you'll be saving yourself a lot of time and potential headaches down the road. To help you get started, I've created an onboarding worksheet, including these and other basic onboarding activities to help you keep on track and be accountable. It's available at songbirdleadership.com/onboarding. You don't have to do onboarding alone. In fact, you shouldn't. Delegate as you're able. By involving others on your team with onboarding, you're saving your time, you're empowering your team by giving them a leadership opportunity, and you're helping the new person better get to know their coworkers. It's win, win, win. Another way to save more time in the long run by doing a little bit more upfront is through the creation of SOPs for your organization's common tasks and processes, and then using them for self-learning opportunities during the training. Written SOPs give the new hire everything they need to know at their fingertips and allow them to learn independently. Now, different people have different learning needs and preferences and styles, and written SOPs will not replace the need to mix it up and also offer hands-on or classroom or video-based training opportunities, but they can certainly be a resource and, again, cut down on workflow pauses due to the new person's uncertainty. Technology can also be leveraged to save you some time during the onboarding process. Depending on your organization's size and budget, onboarding software can really streamline your efforts and help get the new person up and running faster. Learning management software can also be a great tool to standardize and systematize training efforts. Your payroll company also most likely offers some electronic onboarding tools that will save you some time by allowing the new hire to direct their own HR-related onboarding while also reducing paper. The last point I'd like to make today about onboarding is that it's a wonderful time for some really great communication. Communication about the new hire's role, the organization, and each of your expectations. Be present and use active listening techniques. Let the person know how to communicate with you and when you're at your best to receive information. Ask them about their preferences and then remember them. Again, you're setting the stage for a successful future collaboration here. So remember, onboarding doesn't end after the first week or even after the first month or the first quarter. It might look a little bit different throughout an employee's tenure, but they still need training, development, and support throughout their entire experience with your organization. Onboarding is an excellent opportunity to lay the groundwork for future success for your team. And it does require an initial investment of time. But by employing some of these ideas I mentioned to you today, you'll be well on your way to a happy and engaged team, as well as some newfound time. Thank you so much for joining us on the Nonprofit Leadership Oasis podcast. If you like what you heard, please take a moment to subscribe, give us a review, or share with a friend in the sector who could also use some relief. See you next time.